Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
It is 7:21. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. It's 101.9 Chai FM. Lots to talk about with Dr. Carl. He is our science communicator. He's Australian science communicator and a popularizer. And I wanted to ask him a little bit about cholera. As you know, dealing with that issue here in Hammanskraal, north of Pretoria, very, very worrying. A significant number of deaths already. And that is something that is completely unacceptable and really should never happen. Dr. Carl, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Peachy Keen, thank you. I'm sorry to hear about this cholera blow-up in your area.
Yeah, absolutely appalling. And it's obviously a result of many things, including government failure in that area, people not seeking help quickly enough, not being dealt with properly. But should we, in today's age, in today's world, be talking about people dying from cholera?
It's a disease of poverty. Many, many diseases are caused by poverty. Let's just run through it. So from a numbers basis, it affects about 3 million people a year, and it kills about 100,000. Wow. The cause is a bacterium called Vibrio cholerae, and it's usually spread into the gut by what's called the fecal-oral route, from feces or poo into the drinking water, into the mouth. One recent, totally unnecessary mini-epidemic was set off in Haiti in 2010 after an earthquake where the United Nations were dumping their feces, which were infected, into a lake. You never dump anything into a lake. No. That's drinking water. And that set off a terrible little mini-outbreak. It causes diarrhea. In one particular pandemic, there's been about six or seven of them, but one that went through France in the 1800s, they said this was a particularly nasty version, and I'm hoping the version that you have got is not this nasty, but it was said that the patient would die between feeling unwell in the morning and seeing the doctor at midday.
Wow. Okay.
And what it causes is diarrhea.
Right.
And typically, that's 10 to 30 liters of diarrhea. But in extreme cases, they could pass potentially 90 liters. You don't have 90 liters of water.
No.
If you weigh 90 kilograms, you've probably got about 40 or 50 liters. And by the time you've got halfway along that pathway, or even a third, by the time you've lost 10, 15 litres of water, you are so dehydrated you die. And people were dying within hours. There are vaccines against it, oral vaccines, which work pretty well. But the main thing is breaking the transmission, which is via the fecal-oral route, where one person gets infected. If you've got it, all you have to do is stay inside your house, if you've got a house, if you're wealthy enough,
right,
and then use a flushing toilet, if you've got one, and then hope that the local council doesn't let that stuff from the sewage get into the drinking water. And if that's the case, if you live in a wealthy enough country, it just doesn't spread. Anything other than that, people die. And I'm sorry to hear that people are dying.
Is it generally immunocompromised people, or can it have such a severe effect on people who are reasonably healthy?
It can kill very strong, healthy people. It doesn't matter whether you're a big, robust footballer. Once you've got what they call the squirts, the diarrhea, once you've lost 15 liters of water, you're close to death if you're not
absolutely
already dead.
Yeah. Very, very concerning, and of course, it is being taken very seriously in South Africa at the moment, as it should be, because of the number of people who have fallen prey to this. It is 7:26. Let's talk about sunscreen. Why do we have to wait 20 minutes for it to become effective?
Well, yeah, I never really got a good answer on this.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept on asking different people, dermatologists, medical doctors, et cetera, et cetera. And finally, I came across somebody who was an industrial chemist who actually worked in the factory making this stuff. and was a sort of industrial chemist who wanted to understand everything. Now, what you've got in the little bottle of sunscreen is an emulsion, which is a mix, a lotion of milk and cream and oil or foam, and they carry the active ingredient. So you've got a combination of oil and water, which normally don't like each other, and then something to make them like each other, a chemical to make them join each other, as well as the active ingredient, and they preserve the product so it lasts for a few days or weeks on the cupboard. They also help with having the oil being resistant to water. So if you sweat, you don't want to have the sunscreen just running away. So that's why we want to have the oily part. And of course, there's the consumer side. You want how it feels and smells. Now, the skin is not flat. The skin is not flat. It is a series of little waves, peaks and troughs and peaks and troughs. And if you just lay it on your skin, it's on the peaks, you know, the heights of the waves, but it's not in the troughs, in the little valleys. And it has a certain amount of its own fluidity, and so it will spread. So waiting 20 minutes is purely a mechanical thing. People have told me, wrongly, that it's to let a chemical reaction happen between the chemicals in the sunscreen and your skin. No, it's purely mechanical. It's to let it flow into the troughs. And then they say, apply it, reapply it. Mm. And you're thinking, why should I? Well, think about painting a wall of your house.
Right.
The first coat, you know, it looks all right, but, you know, and you got some sort of coverage, but, you know, it doesn't look that good. And when you do the second coat, then you suddenly think, now we're on the way. And the third coat only gives a slight improvement, but the second coat gives a big improvement. And so it'll cover the bits you might have missed or even just covered too thinly. Now, another problem with sunscreen is people use too little of it. Like between half or a quarter of a teaspoon is what you should use. You should use maybe half a teaspoon. That's what you should use.
Right.
But people use less. And what you should use is a whole teaspoon multiplied by seven. Seven teaspoons.
Right.
Each of them is 5 mils. You've got to use 35. So one for each of the limbs, left leg, right leg, left arm, right arm. That's four.
Right.
That's teaspoons. And then one for the face, and then one for the whole front of your chest, and another one for the whole back of your chest. And I still don't quite understand why you have to put as much on your small face as you do on your big chest. But maybe it's because your face is more delicate, the skin's more
right,
delicate, and, you know, and you want to look good, I don't know. And also, if you wait 2 hours before you put it on again, you don't get as good coverage if you put it on 20 minutes after the first one. So you put it on, you wait 20 minutes, then you put another one on. That gives you 60 to 85%. You're dropping 60 to 85% of the ultraviolet that would have come if you hadn't put on another layer. So put on lots, and then put it on 15 minutes after you get into the sun.
Very, very interesting. Indeed, it is 7:30. Dr. Carl, thank you as always for sharing that knowledge with us. 7:30.